Blog Talk Radio. resource or to get rid of the trash.
The inside of the Wood Street encampment is nothing like what's visible from the street. People on the other side of the fence may just see the trash, but behind that, the encampment is huge, with almost 25 city blocks that wind in and out under the freeway, forming different neighborhoods. Joan and I meet at the Wood Street Commons. Couches and dining tables on rugs with plywood walls provide makeshift living rooms. There's also a community closet offering residents free clothes and often food. Further in is another area called the Cob on Wood, where unhoused folks meet and gather in cob houses originally constructed by a nonprofit. Here's Wood Street resident Demetrius, who gave me a tour of the building.
This is the old kitchen right here. Anybody will welcome you. You ever been out here?
Never.
Alright, so it's a big encampment. It goes all the way down, probably about a quarter mile. This is a kitchen. It's really not used that much. Everybody got their own personal stuff. So this is for anybody, though, any whoever needs meal. This is another little living quarters, like a little room option. For anybody that didn't have a tent or a trailer or something, that's one of those small houses. This is a garden that was dead planted with all type of stuff. This is another little living quarters.
Demetrius and other residents are worried that being displaced will mean destroying a rare safe space that they've put so much effort into cultivating. The City of Oakland received a $4.7 million grant from the state that could be used to help clean Wood Street and house residents in city rent community cabins. However, money would only cover 50 cabins, which even with two people to a cabin, wouldn't be enough to house all the residents here. But John says that many residents are wary of city rent housing sites, like the Village of Tough Shed Cabins on East 12th Street, and they're not eager to trade the stability and community at Wood Street for external rules. For many residents, uprooting can be traumatic. John says that before he came to Wood Street, he lived in at least 15 distinct encampments, many of which lasted only 6 months at a time. For John and others with similar experiences, evictions can trigger a lot of painful memories.
Honestly, whenever they would come after that for a couple of years, the beeping noise of the trucks backing up basically startled us and made me start, I would always start crying. But we would jump up. The beeping noise, and if our counselor is here, and we already knew we had 5 minutes to get as much as we can together and move off to the surrounding we're at.
Meanwhile, the legal fight continues. Jazz Calibri, another plaintiff in the case against Caltrans, is trying to amplify voices of the Wood Street residents. Recently, she spent the afternoon walking around the encampment in her combat boots and slip dress. As we walked through the encampment together, she stopped every couple hundred feet to hand out her survey and talk to residents.
I'm
going
to help y'all now when you get a handful of these out.
Jazz is handing out surveys to collect written testimony for the trial. Many residents who work during the day can't make it to court, but she still wants their voices to be represented. For Jazz, the fight is bigger than just stopping Caltrans from kicking them out. She says she wants the Wood Street community to flourish.
I think we need to propose, the dream scenario, because they're going to whittle us down no matter what. So if we start, what would be ideal, and then hopefully with doing the negotiation process, we'll at least end up with something that meets people's basic needs.
From Oakland, I'm Ellie Prickett Morgan for KPFA.
And we are very thankful to Ellie Prickett Morgan for that piece from the Wood Street encampment in Oakland. You are listening to Letters and Politics on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mitch Jezerich, and I'm now very happy to welcome to the radio program Talia Husbands Henkin. Talia Husbands Henkin is the founder of Love and Justice in the Streets. You can find more about this organization at loveandjusticeinthestreets.com. She has been active as well with the Wood Street encampment. Talia Husbands Henkin, thank you for taking this time.
Thank you, Matt.
Tell me, just straight up, for people who haven't been there, for people, it's a little bit out there, sort of near the train tracks, I believe, in West Oakland, not the easiest place always for everyone to get to. Tell me, for folks who may not be very familiar with the Wood Street encampment, what's important to know?
So the Wood Street encampment, people have been living in this area for at least, I know people have been living there for at least 11 years. This encampment has grown massively over the past several years, and many people that I've spoken to have actually been directed there by Oakland police and told to come to this encampment because they would be left alone when they were being swept from other encampments around West Oakland and around the city. There's between 200 and 300 residents who are living at this encampment. It spans for many blocks, and it's pretty out of the way. It's not in a residential area, so it's a lot of folks have come here to find a safety and a place to exist and belong and to build community and to take care of one another. And so right now, the state is in the process of forcibly doing a mass eviction of this encampment, pushing people with literally nowhere to go.
This eviction is going to take several weeks, just in part because of how large this encampment is.
Correct. So the residents filed for a temporary restraining order with Judge William Work, and he recently lifted that the restraining order last week. So his order is that they will do it in three sections. So they're starting with the northernmost part of the encampment, which has approximately 60 to 80 residents living in it, and that's the part that has been being evicted since Thursday, every morning starting at 7 a.m. We anticipate that there will be a break and that they will begin the next section of mass eviction around September 26th.
You said that there have been people there over a decade. I imagine some will find that surprising. Is this something that was allowed to be there, that was tolerated, and then as we've seen in the past few years, a great deal of gentrification come to Oakland, homelessness skyrocketing? We've always had homelessness, but what we've seen over like the last 7 years or so, I've never seen before. I don't know what the official numbers are. But is that kind of the dynamic at play, that this place was a place that was tolerated until it just grew? I heard it spans some 12 blocks.
Absolutely. So the state and the city have known that there have been people living there for years, and residents have been asking for support. They've been asking for the government to step in and to provide safety, like trash pickup and fire safety, for years, and they've been being ignored. People have no access to water. They have no access to food. They have no access to fire safety or trash disposal and sanitation. More recently, the city of Oakland has put out a few porta potties, but there are hundreds of people living in this space. So this is not a surprise. This is not new. What is new is that there's a political landscape that's changing, and that there's political interest in evicting people and disappearing poor people and unhoused people from our communities, really targeting the most vulnerable people in our communities and then providing them with nowhere to go.
What are these political interests?
So Governor Newsom is about to run for president, and Mayor Libby Schaaf is about to be done with her tenure as mayor, and we assume that she has other political goals in her future. And both of them have shown that they really want to evict this encampment. They want this encampment to be gone. However, they have failed to provide housing for people. So at the same time as the state is saying that this is an imminent fire danger, what we know is that there's not enough shelter and there's no housing for people. So instead of spending millions and millions of dollars to sweep people with nowhere to go, we recommend that they redirect that funding into housing, into real solutions, so that there's a place for people to be. People in this encampment have organize themselves. They are in community with each other. They have come up with solutions, and they want to be at the table speaking for themselves with their solutions. This has been completely ignored by both the state and the city, and it's really important that housed members of our community speak out and put pressure on these government leaders to encourage them to create a space at the table for residents of Wood Street to speak for themselves about the solutions that they have.
Just to be clear, Governor Newsom has not declared has thrown his hat in the ring for president yet. I don't want to break any news on here for this happening. But I do agree with you. There are signs there that that would suggest he's thinking about it.
Right.
It had been my understanding that because of previous court orders, that there was an eviction of an encampment. And we should be clear, this isn't the only encampment in Oakland. This is the largest encampment, again, spans 12 blocks, in a place that's not, it's a very rural area, part of town. But there are encampments all over, Oakland, all over the city. It had been my understanding that when an eviction occurs, the city or the county, whoever the authority in charge is, must ensure that whoever is being evicted from that encampment has some kind of shelter.
That is correct. That is the legal requirement. So just to be clear, the city of Oakland is evicting people from encampments. They are carrying out sweeps literally every week, Monday through Thursday. There's a list posted, their schedule is posted on their website of the city of Oakland, and anyone can see it, what's coming up. We have advocates who go out every week to bear witness and to support residents who are being forcibly swept across Oakland. So this eviction is happening by the state, by Caltrans, but the city is also supporting it. So in terms of shelter, what's really important to understand is what the shelter is. The shelter that's being offered to people is not adequate. It doesn't meet the needs of most individuals, specifically people with disabilities, people with trauma, people who have pets, people who have belongings. Many of the beds that are being offered are shelter beds in a congregate setting, a cot on the floor in a room with many people. You can't bring pets, you can't bring belongings, and you have to leave that room every morning. There's a room you can hang out in during the day, but there's not, so for someone who's living in a vehicle or an RV and has their self-determination and a community around them, it's not a real offer to expect them to give up their independence and their privacy and their space to go into a congregate shelter. There are other shelters that are offered at the city of Oakland, but they're full. So all of the sites that are safe RV sites, for example, are full. And many people who are living at the Wood Street encampment specifically are vehicle dwellers. So there is nowhere that is being allowed by the city, the state, or the county for people to be legally. So this creates a huge issue because people are going to be pushed from this place that is really out of sight and kind of on the edges of Oakland, pushed into residential communities, pushed into business districts, and then there will be even more hostility directed at them. It will also separate people from the communities of care that they're in, where people are caring for each other, providing food for each other, providing, you know, emotional and support and a real sense of community. So we believe that there's a need for more options, that there needs to be more shelter that actually meets people's needs, and that there needs to be public land that is being made available for residents who are vehicle dwellers to safely be in until real, true housing is available.
Tell me about the community of the Wood Street encampment, and for people who may not be familiar with encampments, may be surprised to learn that there is organization that occurs within community.
You're listening to the Marty Smith Show.
Good, you just copy it. We'll be right back.
and because it's so large, it's kind of like there's several, there's a bunch of different neighborhoods. So people are in smaller neighborhoods within this large community, but then there's cross-pollination.
John is energetic and funny. He's an active cyclist.
And Smith, who were evicted from the encampment. This originally aired in 2009. So authorities say concerning the Wood Street encampment, though I think the similar dynamic you see at many encampments, not unique to Wood Street encampment, that, well, maybe because this one's been so, here's a little bit about fires, that there have been over 200 fires, some of them very large. I do remember several weeks ago, I live in downtown Oakland, our skies were completely gray because of a fire that occurred at the Wood Street encampment. They say that these are areas where there's a lot of drug use occurring, and that places that crime also occurs. You address that if you will, but let me also ask, is it better? You know, it's interesting. I think we all remember a time before we started seeing encampments, you know, more than a decade ago. But in the last decade, we really start to see these encampments, not just here, but everywhere across the country. Are encampments better than not having encampments? I mean, obviously having housing is better, but in lieu of not having services or housing for people, are encampments actually a good thing?
Well, what we need is housing. That is what we need. In the meantime, when there's not housing available, to create and use public land and to create spaces for people to continue to be together in communities of care, where people are in networks and can support each other, is valuable and is important. And for example, at Wood Street, there's 22 acres of publicly owned, city-owned land around the corner that is sitting vacant right now. The council member, Carol Fife, proposed to be used for an intervention for unhoused people. I would never advocate for people to be in a space where they don't have access to basic needs like water and sanitation. No, those are human rights violations, and no, that's not acceptable. However, if there was support and if there was infrastructure created for people who are currently living in vehicles in community, that could be something that some people would want. So in terms of the fires, I want to go back to this for a moment because there's a lot of misinformation in the media that's going around. First of all, when we talk about drug use, it's really important to note that housed people also use drugs. Addiction is a major problem across our society. So to target people who are unhoused is unfair. To say that it's just unhoused people who have addiction issues or who are involved in, you know, whatever kinds of survival that they're involved with. People are being forced into situations, and because it's outdoors and exposed, it's more visible. So that's really important to note. The piece about fires is that I want to say is that the residents that I've spoken to and that I have relationships with are terrified of fires. People don't want fires where they live. They don't want fires in their homes. People are very afraid. And people have been asking for years for support. The Oakland Fire Department recently said that they refuse to distribute fire extinguishers because they don't feel that would be safe to do because they can't train people. We volunteers for years have been distributing our own fire extinguishers to people, and residents have been getting their own fire extinguishers and are doing their best to take care of themselves and each other. These conditions are worsened because there has been no trash pickup. So Caltrans is suddenly coming in and both evicting people but also cleaning up massive amounts of garbage. There's a huge problem across Oakland of illegal dumping that happens at encampments. So all of the debris and the trash that is creating more fire danger is not being generated by unhoused people themselves at the encampments. Much of it is being generated by businesses that are dumping illegally as well as housed residents. And it's being blamed on unhoused people who are forced to live in these very unsafe conditions with fire danger.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
I don't live in an encampment and all kinds of people dump stuff in front of my apartment.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's what happens. People, it's an encampment. Here's a place I can get away with dump, because it is illegal just to dump mattresses and all the furniture and all these things. So people are just like, here's an encampment. I can just dump it over there and I can get away with it. And then the people within the encampment end up getting blamed for it.
That's correct.
Yeah, no, I believe that. First-hand experience on that.
Yeah.
How do you then think, I mean, when I was asking about encampments, it's interesting, and I do not mean this in a derogatory kind of a way. If this doesn't sound right, you could address that and challenge me on it, but I don't mean it in a negative way. But with the rise of encampments, I have kind of looked at them as sort of America's own version of shanty towns in some ways. How do you explain, and what do you think is important to know about encampments in this country today that people are now, you know, we're getting used to, but we didn't encounter more than a decade ago before?
Sure. Well, I think that there's, in our society, there's, people are encouraged, especially housed people, are encouraged to ignore poverty and to ignore what's going on and to say, well, we're safe. If we're inside, we're still safe, and to not have to face the reality that thousands and thousands of our neighbors are being forced to live on the streets without access to shelter, without access to sanitation, and without access to water. These are basic human rights. In 2017, I was part of a contingent that brought the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Right to Adequate Housing, Leilani Farah, to Oakland to tour encampments. And one of the encampments that she came to was to Wood Street. You know, she has traveled around the world looking at informal settlements, also known or understood as shanty towns. And what she said in the report that she released is that Oakland was specifically called out as cruel and inhumane. And part of that was about the context of the amount of wealth, the disparity of wealth that we have in this country, and specifically in Oakland and in San Francisco, that there is so much wealth. And then to see people whose human rights are being violated in this way is just absolutely unnecessary. We have thousands of empty apartments sitting empty in Oakland right now, of empty houses and of vacant land that could be used now to create safety and to create places for people to go. This is about political will. This is about choices that our society and our government is making to abandon those who are the most vulnerable and to blame people for something that is a structural problem and that we have the ability to solve.
What's happening now at the Wood Street encampment, and what do you anticipate over the next few weeks as authorities continue? It's going to be a long eviction process.
Yeah, it's deeply traumatizing and deeply exhausting. So I've been out there every morning starting at 6 a.m. all day long with residents who are being forcibly evicted. We have set up, the volunteers have set up a tent, and people are turning out, house members of our community are turning out to drop off food and water and supplies and to create a space for residents who are being exposed to the state violence to come and have a space to just to take a break and to get nourishment to keep sustaining through the state violence. So we expect that this will continue for many weeks, and we really need people to show up. We need support. We need food and we need water, and we need people to be calling and to be putting pressure on the government to release public land. Because right now what's happening is that people are being pushed from this large encampment. They're being pushed from one part of it to the next. So people are literally coming up to me saying, where should I go? I don't know where to go. And I don't have an answer, because there's nowhere right now that people are allowed to be. So people are being pushed from one part of the encampment to the next, but that next part of the encampment is going to be evicted in about a week and a half. So people will then be pushed again to the next part of the encampment, but then it will be the third section, the last section, and there will be literally nowhere else to go. So people living in vehicles are scrambling to tow out their vehicles. Residents are helping each other. Volunteers are coming out to help. We're providing gas. We're providing, you know, RV and car batteries to desperately and quickly help people get their belongings out before they are taken by Caltrans. You know, there was a woman a couple of days ago who I watched when the police forced her out of her RV. They then entered her RV to look for what they said they had to look for, explosives, against her will. And then they took her RV and they confiscated it. They are, under the judge's order, they are supposed to be storing people's vehicles, but their people are being separated from their vehicles. So they're literally left. This woman was literally left with nowhere to go and nothing. Her suitcase with all of her clothing was trash, thrown in the trash. So volunteers provided her with, we provided her with a tent, and we provided her with brand new clothing and shoes and support. Another resident yesterday came up to me and told me that his camper was demolished. He had left for a few hours to go get his car fixed, and he had been under the understanding that he had more time. When he got back, his belongings had been ransacked from his camper. His camper had been turned on its side, and it was demolished. He lost everything and has literally nowhere to go now.
Talia Husbands Hankin has been our guest. Again, she is a volunteer who is working at the Wood Street Encampment in West Oakland, which is in the middle of an eviction process that is likely to last several more weeks. And she is also the founder of the organization Love and Justice in the Streets. You can find out more about this organization online at loveandjusticeinthestreets.com. Talia Husbands Hankin, I thank you.
Thank you so much, Mitch.
We continue on the issue of homelessness and encampments, and now we bring you a documentary from my colleague and friend, Lucy Kang, who has done a number of pieces concerning homelessness in the San Francisco Bay Area. She has produced a documentary called On the Brink, Homelessness Before and During COVID-19. It's a documentary in which she follows two women who were evicted from an encampment. This originally aired in 2019, but we still think it's relevant today. And it first aired and has been brought to us by Making Contact.
There's not even animals living standards in Arctic. Because I wouldn't even want my dogs to live in Susie. Look at this place. This is a dump.
Monjoy Tracy Seeley is putting on fake eyelashes in front of a mirror.
I thought I was going to be a man.
She's sitting on the porch of a tiny house on a dirt lot. We're at the corner of Oakland's East 12th Street and 23rd Avenue, next to an overpass and train tracks. Most people would call this place a homeless encampment, but for people like Tracy, it's as close to home as you're going to find in the Bay Area, one of the regions that's hardest hit by the housing crisis. I visited in January of 2019. That's when I met Tracy. I also met a woman named Kimberly Medrano who lives here. Like Tracy, she says it's hard living in the encampment. There's been a lot of problems, like trash.
We only allow the trash to be picked up twice a week. You won't let us have garbage cans or dumpsters to put it in, so we're just throwing it on the ground. The rat population is crazy.
There's also a problem with the toilets. Officially, the city provided porta potties, but the contractor didn't clean them on schedule, so they overflowed.
What I do is I pack it in a bag and get rid of the bag, or I use a bucket and then pour it in the pee out.
There were fires?
Fires, yeah, all the time. Every other day there was some kind of fire. There's been major fires over there, people know.
And there were even a number of deaths.
5 deaths that happened here. I mean, that ever since I've been here, 5 people have died on the zone because of natural causes. why would they claim it natural causes? But I don't think so. I think it's just because of them being outside and it's so cold, they get sick, you know? So then, you know, their body can't take it, they're old, and they die.
Despite all the problems, the residents of the encampment tried to make as best a life as they could. Take Kimberly, for example. She lived in a wooden structure with a smaller tent inside for a bedroom. She used a propane stove for heat, and she got her water from a nearby faucet.
And I would heat a little bit on the stove, and I'd have my bowl, and I'd have my mirror right there, and, you know, I'd wash my face, and brush my teeth, and whatever I needed to do. Take a bath sometimes, cold bath.
Kimberly carved out a home in East 12th and 23rd that gave her some feeling of autonomy and stability. She stayed for that. And because there was no other place to go. The thing is, this encampment was the product of other evictions. Back in 2017, the city of Oakland, California, promised this land to an organization called The Village that ran a self-governed unhoused community. It was grassroots, backed by local support, and it had the potential to be more stable than most places. But things didn't work out. Tracy was living on a median strip on East 12th and 16th Avenue, a few blocks away. And then the city made her move, which it did to a lot of unhoused people around Oakland.
One day the city dump truck came over and said that, we had to move and they're going to throw all this away. And then the people that can't move their stuff, they're going to get thrown away, whatever. So they put all this in the dump truck, literally put on the dump truck, came here and dumped us out of here.
Oakland Assistant City Administrator Joe DeVries says it was necessary to shut down the East 12th Street median.
That location was extremely problematic in some of the activity that was happening there. There were some fires. There were people that had built structures in the trees.
And the city thought it had a better idea. They evicted everyone off the median and then said they could move to East 12th and 23rd, where the city was just starting to provide some services. But there were too many people for this limited plot of land.
We did encourage them to move down to East 12th and 23rd. It was a small group, we think around 12, maybe up the highest 15 people.
What does encouraged mean?
Well, it was one of the few times where people said, well, where should we go? And we said, well, if you want to go down here, there's going to be porta potties, weekly garbage service, and hand washing stations, which was a new thing. So at the East 12th median, we're like, all right, yeah, we are closing this. It's dangerous. You can't be here. We really feel strongly that we have to close this encampment. That one's just down the street. You can be there. Like, it just seemed like a logical thing to help with that process.
Around the same time, the city evicted several homeless encampments across Oakland, and word got out that the city was letting people stay at East 12th and 23rd. Here's Kimberly again. There's 100 people there. Other people, how much garbage do you think? And then people were just dumping stuff, like their garbage or their furniture, and we'd have to stop them and say, look, people live here, don't do that. It made us look bad. We're not all bad people. We're not all lazy people. We're you know, because all it takes is one person to mess it up. At East 12th and 23rd, everywhere I look are tents or tiny houses and piles of clothes, broken furniture, and trash bags. It feels like a place in transition, and that's because people are getting ready to move out. Not because of the overcrowding or the overflowing toilet. Not just because of that.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Marty Smith Show. Working through these technical issues and trying to get it together.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Marty Smith Show.
When the dog bites, when the bee stings you in the field side, I simply remember my favorite things, and then on kittens, brown copper kettles, warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with string. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells, sleigh bells, schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses, blue satin sashes, snowflakes melt on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into spring. These are a few of my favorite things. Remember my favorite things, then I don't feel so brown copper kettles, warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with string. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies, crisp apple strudel, a doorbell.
sleigh bells, schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly, the moon on their wings, these are a few of my girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes. Snowflakes melt on my nose and eyelashes. Silver white winters that melt into spring. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bees sting, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things. And then I don't feel.
Thank you for listening to the Marty Smith Show. We're coming to a premature end, but we had a lot of fun. We'll see you on the next one.